Let's begin. Yesterday's daf was Mem Gimel. Today's Mem Dal. We'll do review of yesterday's daf. Get to today's. Have in mind that our learning should be as close for the Yidden and Eretz Yisrael. Also, it should be the Ili Nishmas Yitzchak Heshev Ben Abram Gedalia, Sar Bas Menachem, Bas Ami, Bas Shleime Zalman Yirmiyahu. And also for Shleime, for Adas Bas Ronya, for Miriam Bas Et Yezisel, Yitzchak Ben Yal Zahava, Chaya Rochel, Bas Devora, and Tzvito Ben Chasha, and Yisrael Yehoshua Ben Mina, right? And Chava Bas Dalhinda, and Shoshana Goldbrach Bas Yalrina. Amongst all else, we need a refuah, and with that, let's start on the review. So we're starting at the Mishnah at the top of the page. Somebody gave money to a Shulchani. So there's a rule. If the money that he gives is tied, so then he has no business using it. And because of that, his responsibility is lighter. And if it gets lost, he's not chayv and he's not responsible. If it's untied, he has a right to use it. Once he has a right to use it, therefore, if it gets lost, he is going to be responsible. However, if you leave the money, whether tied or untied, by Baal Bayis, not by Shulchani, then he has no business using it in either case, and therefore if he loses it, he's not chayv b'achrayis. What's the status of a storekeeper? It's a machlokes. According to a mayor, it's the same as a Baal Bayis, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the same as a Shulchani, as a money changer. Now, question is that if it's understood that a Shulchan is going to be using the money, why, when it's tied, is it assumed that he's not going to be using the money? What's the difference? That's the question. So Rav Asi said in the review that we're talking about not only that it's tied, but it's also sealed. Then it's clear that, you know, you mean for him just to watch it, okay, and not to touch it. Rav Mari says it's an unusual knot. The others put it as Rav Mari was asking it as a question. What's the story with an unusual knot? Does that have the same status as a seal or not? And we remain with the take. That's version B. Next, we said if it's untied, he could use it. So Rav Huna qualifies this, and he says a very important principle. What status, really, this is the question. What status is the Shulchani in terms of responsibility? So according to Rav Huna, he is basically the same level responsible as a shul because he's getting the benefit of the money. And just like a borrower has full responsibility, so too he has full responsibility. And therefore, if an illness happens, he is going to be responsible. Why does the Mishnah say lost? So the Gemara says, just like Rabbi explains that sometimes we use the word Geneva of Aveda, not only to describe the middle level of responsibility, but the higher level, Geneva, armed robbers, and Aveda, where the ships drowned at sea, those are extenuating beyond the norm levels of onus, and yet he's still responsible. That's Shitas Rav Huna. Rav Nachman disagrees, and he says that Nensu, the guy's not responsible for it. His level of responsibility is like a paid watchman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, he's like, okay, according to you, Nentu is not included, Onsim don't count, so then he's not a borrower. Well, if he's not a borrower, well, how is he a Shomer Socher either? I mean, a borrower gets the benefit of using the money, but this guy is not a borrower, so what is he? He's a hired watchman? Where is he paid? He's not paying anything. The answer is that in this he'll agree that because he gets a benefit from the fact that he could use it, so it's like he's being paid to watch the money. That's the concept. That if a good deal comes, he has a right to use the money to make profit. So therefore, it's like he's being paid something to watch it. That's the idea, and therefore, that's the level of responsibility. Rav Nachman is Rav Huna. Somebody gives money to a Shulchani. If it's tied, he can't use it. Therefore, if he spent it, and it was Hegdish money, the Gizbar is not responsible because the guy had no business opening it. But he gave it untied to the banker, to the Shulchani. So he has a right to use it, and therefore the Gizbar is chai for giving it to him, and he's basically Maul Behegdish. And if you're going to say that even by Onsim, why does he have to spend the money? Even without spending the money, as soon as he gave it, it's already responsible. And he says, you're right. That's just because we're sticking. Since in the ratio, you used the word spending and it didn't matter. So to here, we said the word spending, but it's even if he didn't spend it, just by giving it, it'll already be chayiv. So bottom line is, he didn't think it was a compelling raya. However, in Psak Halacha, just so you know, we pask in like Rav Nachman here. Okay, that you're not, that the Shulchani, the money changer, is not responsible for onsim. Okay. Next, somebody who was given a pekadon, a deposit, and he took it for himself to keep. Okay, so according to Beis Shammai, at that point, if it goes down in value, he suffers the loss, and if it goes up in value, he has to give over the gain. In other words, it works against him in bad in both directions. According to Beis Hillel, it's at the point of Hotzah, which we'll define, and according to Rabbi Kiva, it's at the point of Tevia, the point of claim. Okay, so first of all, Rabbi is saying, in somebody's case is this. Somebody stole a barrel of wine from his friend. It was worth one sus when he stole it, and now it's worth four sus. So it depends. If he breaks it or drinks it, then what does he have to pay? He has to pay four sus. If it broke on its own, then it'll only have to pay one sus. Now, what's the difference? He says, because if it was still intact, he would have to give the actual barrel back. So really, when he broke it or when he drank it, it's like that was really the moment of gzela when you think about it. And since the rule is kol ha gazlanim mashamlim kishas gzela, the real stealing is when you can no longer give it back, which is that later time, and therefore he owes the higher amount. But if he never touched it, so the only point of time which was where he had an interaction with this item is when he took it initially, which at that time it was only worth one, so therefore he'll only pay only one. And that's the basic idea. We saw in the Mishnah, the Beis Hillel says, Kishas Hotzah. So what does that mean, Kishas Hotzah? So if it means when it leaves the world, when it disappears, when it breaks, whatever it is, or when it's drunk. So if we're talking about when it went down in value, meaning it was higher and then it went down in value, so is there anybody who says that you don't pay the earlier time? We said that's like a pretty accepted principle. So if you stole it in the beginning, it was worth more, and now it's worth less, and that's when you break it, you're going to get away with paying less? That doesn't make any sense. So if you're talking about there went up in value, meaning if it was higher at first and then it went down, for sure you're going to pay the higher amount. If it was lower first and then it went up in value, and we're saying you pay the higher amount, well, that's exactly what Beis Shammai says. So you're basically, there's no machlokas now between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So rather, what it means, Hotzah, means when you took it, me based by them. Meaning the moment it was taken from them, that's all that you're paying, not more than that. Problem with that is that Rabbi is going like Beis Shammai, because Rabbi is saying that's not true. He's saying it goes by the later point. If you drank it later and it was worth more, you do pay more. And we're saying Beis Hillel says, no, you don't. You pay whatever it was when you took it. Which is not like Rabbi. So you're saying Rabbi is going like Beis Shammai? So Rabbi, I'll tell you, no. When it goes up in value, everybody says you pay the higher amount afterwards. The machlokas is if it goes down in value. Beis Shammai says that Shlichas Yad doesn't need chesara, and therefore when it went down in value, it was it went down in his own rishus that it went down in value. And Beis Hillel says Shlichas Yad needs chesara, and therefore if it went down in value, it went down in value still by the as if it was still by the bialim, and that's the difference. Okay, so anyway. So the Gemara says, if it went down in value, okay. So that's the so the Gemara says. Problem with that is that Rabba says that Shlichas Yad doesn't need chesaron, and you're saying Rabba's holding like Beis Shammai, because that's the so Beis Shammai's opinion is like the main opinion that Shlichas Yad doesn't need anything missing. So that's not good either. We don't want Rabba going like Beis Shammai either. So the Gemara says, we're talking about over here a third possibility. you moved it to bring the birds, okay? And the machlokas between Meshem and Mesillah is what the halacha of a shol shlomidas. Somebody who borrows without permission. That's machlokas. Beshameh says that a shol shlomidas is a gazan, and when it went down in value, it was by him already. And he suffers that loss, basically. It doesn't really king. And the Beis Hillel says, no, it's a shoal shomli das, it's only a shoal. And if it went down in value, it's b'shus of the mara that it went down. Okay, so it's still by the owner that it went down. The problem with that is that Rav says that shoal shomli das, according to Rabbanon, is a gazlan. You're saying Rav is going like Beis Shammai again. We don't want him to be taking Beis Shammai's side. So we tried a fourth answer. We're talking about a different thing completely. We're not talking about where it went down, fluctuations in value. That's not what's going on. We're talking about an improvement in what happened to this gzela. This gzela that improved, changed for the better, or it changed for the worse, basically. That's what it's talking about. Beis Shammai says that shvach gzela goes to the nigzal. If there was an improvement, it goes to the one who's stolen from. And Beis Hillel says, no, shvach gzela goes to the gazlan. And that's a machlokas tanoim. And they're holding on the same machlokas tanoim. Somebody steals a sheep. This is the example. And then he sheared the sheep. The gana, the one who stole the sheep, sheared it or gave birth. He pays it and the shearings and everything on the vlados, the offspring, all to the person who he stole from. That sheep does from there. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the gzela goes back as you stole it, whatever it was when you stole it. And that's the sheet of Beis Hillel. And basically, Meir goes on Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Yehuda holds like Beis Hillel.
What if it wasn't pregnant when he stole it?
That's still, it sounds like that's the case.
No, he took it, but he wasn't pregnant when he took it.
No. According to who? According to a mayor, any change that's for the better,
the
guy gets it back.
Uh-huh.
And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you give it whatever it was
as it took, and no
additional stuff gets back.
Okay.
That's the two sides. You put into it the carousel, and that's just lost. That's a part of this penalty for stealing. In other words, he got a little sheep, it didn't have any wool, he nourished it, he fed it.
And he gets the wool of that.
And he had a nice full fleece, and he sheared it.
Right.
So,
now he's returning the money
and the time and the care that he put into it.
So, Rameyer says,
no one asked him.
That's according to Rameyer. But okay, he stole it.
Rameyer
says he does keep it.
And he just returns it.
He returns the sheep as he found it. This is you. What I took from was a shorn sheep, and now you get back a shorn sheep. That's all.
And that's my clothes tonight.
Yeah. And we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, the lenient way. Okay.
So you get it back as is.
That's it. However, it was when you took it. That's what you got to get back.
Shvach
is improvement.
Yeah.
Shevach. Not shvach is Yiddish. That's a Yiddish word.
That's a Yiddish word that means weak. Yeah.
I'm feeling shvach.
That's what I grew up with. Shvach, that part I know. It's a different thing altogether.
It's a different thing altogether. Shevach, here it's with the bays, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it means praise.
Yishtabach. When you say the brach,
praise.
I mean,
it's improvement, whatever.
Got it. Okay.
And actually, the Gemara says it fits in because the word chaser and yeser implies just that. It doesn't imply increase in value or decrease in value just due to market fluctuations. The implication of the mashmos is that we're talking about the actual increase. It grew, it went up, there was something missing or there's something additional. That's what it sounds like. Kasar means there's something missing. And yes, sir, is something extra. You understand? So there's
like yeter and
spot. Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir is additional. Right. Okay. Rabbi Kiva says that it's kishas hatfia. So we saw Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishmol that Talach is like Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva agrees that in a place where there's edim, then the tvia is really goes back not to the point when he's in court now, but where the edim saw it. They saw him steal it. They're like, that's where the point. And it's based on the pasuk that says, "Lasher ulog yitnenu biyoy mashmas," like the day of his guilt. Where's the moment of his guilt? the moment of when their witnesses saw him stealing. That's the guilty moment. That's what they're saying. And then, Raboshi, that's what, right, that's what, this is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, saying that Rabbi Akiva would agree in this case. Comes along, Rav Oshia said to Rav Yehuda, that do you really say that? Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yochanan that Rabbi Akiva would say, argue over there as well. And the reason is because the Yom HaShmasu is taken to mean the moment where Bezdin found him guilty. That's the yeah. measure. Whatever value it is at that moment, that's when the Chiyuv is. So Rav Zeir said to Rav Abba Bar Papa, you know what? I really want to know what's the bottom line. So if you, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, swing by, go out of the way to the Sulma Ditzor, where Rav Yaakov Eidi is Talmud of Rav Yochanan lives, and ask him what's the story, if he heard what's the story with Rav Yochanan paskin like Rav Kiva or not. And he said, Rav Yochanan says, the Allah is like Rav Kiva, le'olam, meaning yes. Yes, underlined yes. So now, what's le'olam? So Rav Ashi says that don't think that he only says it in a case where there's no witnesses, but if there's witnesses, then he'll agree that it changes. Not true. It doesn't change. That's one. Or he's saying that if he went back and returned it to where he took it from, and then it broke, that doesn't help, like, as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that if you return it from where you stole it, you're done with your stealing. That's a good return. That you need das bilim. That's we paskin like Rabbi Kiva over there as well. So that's the first opinion. Then we saw Rava, who's the bottom line halacha, that the halacha is actually like Bais Hillel, that we go Bishas Hotza, meaning when it was taken from the owner, and that's the bottom line. Bottom line is the bottom line.